Visiting with Craig Anderson with the IHSA. It is July 10th as we speak, so that means currently we're 1 month away from the start of the 2020 fall sports season per the IHSA calendar. That's as we talk today. And I guess my first question to Craig Anderson is, where do you think we are right now in terms of high school sports heading towards the fall of 2020?
Well, as of today, as a result of recent decisions we've had to make in just the last couple days, it has me a bit concerned. And I think folks generally, if they're watching kind of what's happening and decisions being made, that it's getting more complicated with the different adjustments that have been made to what was our phase four guidelines that we had approved, and now we've had some setbacks. But you know, I remain hopeful that, you know, even with these setbacks, that we'll get back to more activity soon, assuming that, you know, our schools continue to do it safely and we don't have any spikes and or spread of the virus. So that's really what's causing, in my opinion, causing some of this to occur and for IDPH and the governor's office to push some further restrictions on us.
Well, and as August 10th approaches, the concern probably is there going to be a delayed start to the season? Because can you realistically prepare for a season if you can't have contact among student athletes? I mean, that's the big question. I don't care what the sport is, whether it's volleyball or whether it's football or whatever the sport is. So that's really going to be the big issue is in terms of the restrictions. I mean, some progress is really going to have to be made over the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, we got to get back to having the ability or the permissions to be able to have some physical contact in order for us to play a number of our fall sports. You know, you mentioned volleyball, football, but soccer as well. You know, so many of our sports require that physical contact. So, yeah, it's definitely something that we got to progress towards. And obviously we'll see what happens with that, in the coming weeks, but, remain hopeful that, some progression in that area could happen.
You had talked before, I think we talked to you a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, about, you know, one of the options is potentially looking at shortened seasons, just because of what's at stake here on, you know, returning one to the classroom, and then, you know, return to play. So how serious do you think that is getting in terms of, you know, really having to look at that as an option?
Well, I think we're getting closer to that. And I think, you know, that model is starting to play out with some of the collegiate conferences. You know, some of the decision making there is to eliminate some early round non-conference contests, in sports like football as an example. So yeah, I think, again, depending upon how this trends, a delayed start, you know, maybe letting our students get back to school, and get that underway before we resume some activities or maybe things that we'll have to consider. So that's definitely a possibility. You know, a couple extra weeks of working our way back to some of these opportunities. And, you know, if we have to shorten the season but still can provide the opportunity, it's something I'm sure our board will consider.
And then do you think, I know it's been mentioned before, do you think, you know, flipping seasons is out of the question now that you're kind of too late in the game to do something like that, where you would have football in the spring and try to get spring sports maybe in the fall?
Yeah, I think we're getting to the point where it's going to be very difficult. But as you know, as we talked before we jumped on here, you know, over these last couple days and the very most recent day, I've gotten a slew of emails from our member schools administrators with questions, of course, trying to work their way and understand what the new guidelines and adjustments to the guidelines. And, you know, in some of that communication, I think, you know, like I would feel, and I think many others would feel, we simply want to provide opportunities. So I think, you know, our schools want to provide opportunities for kids no matter what makes the most sense. So, you know, with these restrictions now on physical contact and how long that could be pushed into the fall, I think, you know, I think there's still some consideration with our schools that would be open to that conversation, even in a late decision maybe made in the next week or two. So that still isn't off the table. It gets more complicated the closer we get to the start of the fall. But again, if we can't have physical contact, then that's going to be the directive. You know, other sports that would we could play with limited to no physical contact, you know, maybe still make sense to flip season. So a lot of those decisions are going to be made soon, I believe. But it still is on the table.
Okay, so because I had somebody ask me, a coach, you know, when the topic about flipping seasons, you know, he had asked about, okay, if you flip football, the football season to the spring, are you talking about then still doing football would be in the spring, and so would the other traditional spring sports of track and baseball, for example. Or would it be, you know, a complete flip where then those sports would be offered in the fall, if you see what I'm saying? Because one of the coaches said, well, could we do football, baseball, and track in the spring altogether? That'd be impossible because some of those, you just wouldn't be able to have some of those sports at small schools because the numbers just aren't there.
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think because of the overlap, and in particular our small schools where they share athletes for all the right reasons, was a three-sport athlete myself, I think we'd be more inclined to flip entire seasons to keep the opportunities seasonally and the opportunities available to all students to participate in the sports and activities that they ordinarily would during a school year, even though it may be out of season, but they still have the same opportunities, three-sport athletes in the traditional, you know, seasons. While they may be adjusted, they still would have those opportunities to compete in those and not overlap a baseball and football season and try to do both, which would really wouldn't be safe for our students. So I would lend itself to, if we flip a season, we're more likely to flip entire sports within the season to maintain some consistency for our students.
When do you think the date would be, I mean, when that decision would have to be made? I mean, is there a certain day on the calendar where you say, well, this is by this time we have to make this decision? Has that been established yet?
Not officially, but I may have alluded to it before. Our board of directors ordinarily doesn't meet in July, but when we met in June, they told, you know, they communicated collectively that we're going to need to meet again before the start of the fall season. And so we haven't set an official date, though we're in the process of working on locating a date in July that would be a time which all board could meet virtually, of course, and convene on this topic and make some decisions. So I think it's within the next couple of weeks that we do have a decision made. Again, the date hasn't been finalized, but the board is having discussion. We're having discussion on when we can find a date to really discuss this and reach a conclusion.
Okay, so I mean, my bullet points here are, you know, then if you do that, you're looking at, well, you know, shortening the season is an option, flipping the seasons an option, and then canceling the seasons is an option. I guess is there any, I mean, what other items are there besides, is that kind of the three things that would be in play here? Are there more than that?
No, I think that's it. And, you know, if we end up being forced to cancel a season, like the fall as an example, then I think a sub kind of bullet to that would be then the consideration of finding a way to modify the seasons across the board in terms of limiting the season limitation to where we could find ways within the school year to provide all the opportunities in the different sports and activities. So we're looking at shortened seasons and abbreviated and throughout the remainder of the school year, whenever a starting point could be for us. So if we're canceled in the fall, then I would anticipate the potential then of working three sport seasons in a really reduced, each one being slightly reduced to provide opportunities for kids.
Okay, so it'd be so a fall would cancel. Basically, through the remainder of the school year, you try to get fall, winter, and spring sports put together in that time frame after a cancellation of a fall sports season. That's what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah, that's what I think would be definitely something we would consider because, I just feel badly for kids and it, you know, and if we end up flipping and now the flip spring season is canceled to go 2 years without spring sports, isn't good for kids and, their development and their opportunities to showcase their skills and, you know, reap the benefits of participation, especially if that's their only sport. So I think if we have a season canceled, then we got to have some consideration to, if we can, provide opportunities for kids in some shortened versions of seasons throughout the year.
All right. And I know, you know, you made the announcement Thursday in regard to the modifications and with the return to play. And, you know, this is a response to basically the Illinois Department of Public Health. So you're talking about, you know, basically limiting physical contact so that, you know, basically no team contests can occur. We're talking about a contest against other schools, like 7-on-7s. The summer can't do that, or, you know, summer league basketball. And then increased usage of masks. Now, if you know, inside a building, basically, my understanding is everyone inside a facility, talking about a building, a gym, would have to wear a mask regardless if they're whatever they're doing. But outside, right, if you're participating in something outside, you do not have to wear a mask. Can you kind of elaborate a little bit on the mask issue in regards to this summer stuff?
Yeah, certainly I can. Yeah, this new masking requirement really puts us in alignment with the Illinois State Board of Education recommendations for how schools would start in the fall. So when indoors, you know, no matter the physical activity of students, all coaches, participants, teachers, athletic trainers, when you're indoors, you need to be masked. And then when you're outdoors and you're socially distancing, that you could remove your mask. So for our cross country runners, our football athletes that are doing more conditioning things, or soccer players that are doing conditioning things that, you know, not scrimmaging because that's likely going to involve physical contact, which is limited, they can remove the mask when outdoors and socially distance from one another. So that was really the directive that came down from IDPH and the governor's office.
All right. And a coach had asked me, for example, if they're doing a drill outside, you know, in terms of the definition of contact, and say one kid is holding like a tackling dummy and another kid is doing a drill around that or involving that. Is that considered physical contact where you couldn't do that? You see what I'm saying? Like if a kid's holding a tackling dummy and another kid's doing something and it's the tackling dummy per se they're going after, but the other kid is holding the tackling dummy, if you see what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. You know, the use of a sled or a bag, or those kind of things, if they're properly sanitized, we haven't limited that because those things are going to prevent the physical contact of person-to-person contact, which I believe is what IDPH has come down and said we need to try to prevent. So I've indicated through, of course, a number of questions and emails from our member schools that use of sleds and handbags and bags are going to be permissible when used by our coaches and our athletes.
All right. And just, you know, as we wind down here talking with Craig Anderson with the IHSA, I know this is ever evolving issue and story dealing with this pandemic. It has been since mid-March. And, you know, the one statement I saw that the IHSA put out yesterday, the first sentence, due to an increase in positive cases of COVID-19 among high school teams around the state, the Illinois High School Association and Illinois Department of Public Health jointly collaborating to modify the IHSA's phase 4 return to play guidelines. So, I mean, that's been the motivation in this. As I read this, there's been some schools around the state, positive cases, that basically kind of raises the red flag or hits the alarm, and basically the IDPH and the IHSA has to say, wait a minute, we need to slow down and assess this again. Reading between the lines, is that kind of what happened in all this then?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and it's unfortunate. And I think, you know, with the holiday and the activities of our students before we ever, you know, started our phase four return to play guidelines, I think a lot of that activity of our students with the holiday and is celebrating led to this, and some kids, you know, getting the virus, being tested positive. But another piece to this that we may not have put in the release, but has been ongoing since we released our guidelines, is that we weren't in alignment with Illinois State Board of Education guidelines for returning to school when they put out their guidance related to some limits. And so while it kind of coincides with this restriction, this also puts us in alignment for how we ISBE has recommended we return to learn, and the restrictions and limits that are going to be on schools as they return their students back to school. So that's really kind of, I think there's two parts to that. There was a slight spike in some areas in the state, and then additionally it puts us in alignment with the Illinois State Board of Education, which I think IDPH and the governor's office was hearing was a concern from a number of superintendents across the state. So those things are kind of, they kind of happen together in this modification.
All right. I'm still hoping for the best, but man, I just, I'm really concerned about this moving toward the fall. I mean, I guess I'm anxious or nervous or whatever. So I guess any final thoughts? I mean, I guess worry is the operative word here heading toward August 10th. I mean, because what we're up against, right, and we talked about it in the, I know when this first started, and the IHSA, I want to applaud, you know, most of the people I talked to down there, they've been very transparent about this issue, you know, and you have to respond to a lot of different things. You know, everybody is with just trying to handle, we haven't dealt with the pandemic before as it relates to interscholastic athletics in Illinois, and I think the IHSA has been very transparent in what they're up against here. And I think the big issue, when we talked about it in March, you know, for me, I just look at the calendar each day and I said, man, we're all right, we're July whatever, okay, you know, back in March, well, we're on this day, we're April now, can we have baseball, we're May, can we do softball, you know, we're May 15th, we're going to be able to do track. And now we're, you know, it's sad to say, but now we're in the approaching the fall season, and you know, there was hope when we initially started to see this, you know, return to play, and then you take a step back here this week, you call it a step back, and you say, well, I'm talking to Craig Anderson on July 10th, the weekend is over, July 13th, next week is over, July 17th, then it's July 24th. You know, is the big issue for everyone here, it's the calendar. That, I mean, that's what we're really looking at right now and trying to see if we can do something in the fall.
Yeah. Yeah, the calendar definitely puts some added anguish for all of us, me in particular, trying to provide some guidance, of course, across the membership. But, you know, taking in information from our membership, from our board, and then, you know, the leaders that really are kind of guiding this with IDPH, the medical experts that we really have to listen to as it relates to the pandemic and preventing spread. And so, yeah, like you, I remain concerned, and, you know, this is a challenging thing. And, you know, our kids, in my opinion, desperately need opportunities, activities are a part of school. They really go hand in hand in the development of our young people. Our kids need both. And so we have to work together, and we have to work for progress to provide these opportunities for kids. And it's what I'll continue for the next month. And, you know, you're right. We have exactly a month before we resume, or scheduled to resume, fall practices. And so it'll be my mission to to steer us in a way that we can resume and do it in a safe manner. But challenges are ahead of us for sure. And you know, this week we saw one of those as the physical contact opportunity is now removed. And we don't know how long, but, you know, we need to progress and get back to where more opportunities can happen for kids.
Yeah, and I guess that's a perfect segue. Have they given you an indication of when I'm talking about IDPH, an indication of when they would reevaluate that and say, well, we can go back to more contact and get back to some, you know, regular competitions against other schools? Is there any indication from them on something like that?
No, there really isn't. They point to a lot of the testing and, you know, some of the same things that, you know, on a broad scale, they're looking at statewide, what those numbers look like. And I think that's going to guide our permissions. But they really didn't state a date or a time at which they'll look, you know, consider it again and we'll get together. But, you know, we're going to, you know, our office has found ways to access and stay in communication with the governmental leaders. And so it'll be on our agenda to at least weekly and maybe more often than that to stay in contact with our progress and see what options are available.
All right. Well, I appreciate the insight from Craig Anderson from the IHSA. And again, the staff's been great down there keeping us up to date on this situation involving COVID-19 in high school sports. And again, the IHSA will be meeting sometime here in the month of July and making some difficult decisions. So I appreciate the visit again, Craig Anderson. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to WRMJ.